more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along the way.
Good Sunday morning. This is Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider, what does the Lord say regarding life's issues? Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, sponsor this program, follow us on Twitter, or even like us on Facebook. We can be found at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. I'm excited about today's topic.
I am too, because I know the day's topic is going to encourage so many people. It's really going to bless them.
Amen.
So many people are going through so many things today.
Let's get right to it. I'm going to read the scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Very familiar scripture. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord your God.
Especially when it looks like everything is going haywire. When it looks like that everyone is against you, there's times when you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. And it seems like it's hard to do because you're depressed because so many things are coming against you.
And what I'd like to challenge everyone listening today is our topic is I made it. And I know that right now you might not be able to say that in reality because you're still going through, you're still trying to make it. But what I'd like to challenge you to do is to declare in faith the word of the Lord and declare that you have made it. Even before you come out, sometimes you've got to take a leap of faith and you've got to believe to see the goodness of God and call those things that are not as though they are. You might still be in the midst of the valley of decision. You might still be going through the valley of the shadow of death, but this morning, this Sunday morning, can you declare with me, I made it? Talk about it like it's already done. I believe that in due time, in short season, that you will be able to say, when I look back over my life and I begin to think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. The testimony comes out of the test. The testimony comes out of the trial. The testimony comes out of the burdens of life. And I challenge you today, don't wait till the battle is over, but to declare this morning that I have made it by the grace of my good God.
One of the things you have to remember is when God says that you've made it, when God has spoken a word to you that lift up your bowed down head, when God gives you a word to tell you that your days of discouragement will soon be over, then that's the time to tap into God's faith and begin to come into agreement with the word of God and begin to declare it in the earth.
Amen. And one of the things that we have to remember is that God has a plan for our life. He says in Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. These are plans to prosper you, not to harm you. These are plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope and an expected end for your life." So you don't want to find yourself like the psalmist and the people did in Psalms 137. Sometimes we've been there, if the truth be told, where we hang our harps in the willow trees and we declare before the Lord, "How shall I sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" But I want to challenge you this morning that you need to pick up your harp and you need to begin to sing a melody unto God. Even if it hurts, you've got to sing a song unto the Lord. I believe that It was Larnell Harris that sang a song a long time ago. He said, when praise demands a sacrifice, I'll worship God even then. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise the Lord. Sometimes it's a sacrifice just to muster up a hallelujah. But you got to be willing to say hallelujah anyhow.
Through tears, through confusion, you have to be able to say hallelujah anyhow. You got to begin to start just confessing the word of God. When God is giving you a word, begin to stand on it. And no matter what it looks like, begin to confess it unto the Lord. One of the things that I like about it is when God speak a word to you in due season, you should immediately come into agreement with it. And what I mean by that, you should begin to surrender to the word of God. If God said it, it's going to happen. The word says, if I speak it, it shall come to pass. Our theme is to surrender to the word of God, and watch when you begin to surrender to the word of God. Watch and see how peace will begin to flood your soul. Watch and see how your fears will dissipate because you have now grabbed hold to God's word. Even when it comes to God speaking to you about healing or a prayer that you have put up before the Lord and he begins to start ministering to you about your fears, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. When you begin to hear that word from the Lord, just come into agreement with it. And begin to repeat it to the Lord.
You know what we say on the prayer line? We've got to say what God says until we see what God sees. You've got to believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Make your confession before God. Your confession should line up with the word of God. I'm going to say it until I believe it. I'm going to believe it until I see it. God's going to do this thing. This is not about you, but this is about God. His name is on the line. The Bible says, by this we know that God has favored us because he does not allow our enemies to triumph over us. He has placed his name on the line. They that put their trust and hope in God shall not be afraid or be ashamed. God will come to your defense and God will deliver you. You've got to just make your confession in agreement with the word of God. Whatever God says, it is so.
When you said that, I thought about David when he said, I sought the Lord and he delivered me out of all of my fears. And I remember just recently when the Lord told me, do not pray in fear, pray in faith. And what actually happened is that I received some news from a relative that I love so dearly. And I began to get sad. And I went before the Lord and said, Lord, I prayed about this many times, but, and before I could get it out, he says, don't pray in fear. He said, pray in faith, meaning put some feet to your faith, walk this thing out. And as a result, I'm telling you, as the scripture says, that he delivered me from all of my fears. Everything just fell in line. My fears dissipated. I didn't have to worry about it no more. And I declare that I will no longer pray in fear. Oh Lord, what's going to happen? Oh Lord, is this person going to die? No. Begin to pray in faith. Lord, you said, you spoke this word to me to believe you. And whatsoever I speak, because it comes in line with your word, it is going to happen. And that's what I really appreciate about that word of God.
And that's what he tells us, though. He says, whatever you ask in prayer, yes, believe that you have it when you pray, and it is yours. He said, pray in faith, believing, and you shall have your petition. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and he shall be raised up. But you've got to pray in faith. And when you pray in fear, you're not praying in faith. So ask God when you go to God. Now, does that mean that all of us are bulwarks in faith when we pray and we've never doubted? No. But what you want to do when you go to God and you have those things that are that fear tap dancing on your heart, you've got to surrender that to God. God, there is a part of me and there is a fearfulness and a trembling in my heart. I want to pray in faith, believing. Would you, dear God, arrest this fear? I give it to to you, God. Would you give me faith to believe? You know, when Jesus asked the man that wanted his son healed, he said, do you believe? Because the man wanted to know, could Jesus heal? Jesus was like, I can do anything. Can you believe? He said, oh, God, I believe.
Yes.
But would you help my unbelief?
Yes.
Sometimes you just got to tell him like it
no.
is. I believe you, God. I believe you're the healer. I believe you're the king. I believe you are God. But I've been walking around with your disciples, and they've been trying to cast this devil out, and it hasn't worked. And now doubt has crept into my heart. I still believe
I
you
still
are
believe
God,
you.
But help my unbelief.
Right.
You might have been walking through your life believing God was going to give you a job, believing God was going to heal your body, believing God was going to answer your prayer, believing God was going to restore your situation. But something happened along the way. I mean, maybe the bills came in faster than you imagined. Maybe the car got repossessed. Maybe the job laid you off while you were yet believing. And you say, Lord, I still believe you're a provider, but Lord, help my unbelief.
Mm.
There is unbelief creeping into my heart. Give it to God. All of that you have, lay it at the altar of God. Confess openly, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Mm.
That your prayer might be in faith and that God might answer your prayer. Because when the man made that confession, Jesus healed his son.
He sure did. And the word says, even in Mark 11, in the 22nd verse, I believe, it says, have faith in God. Meaning that you, listen, in yourself, you can't have faith in. But you can have faith in God, the one that is the promise keeper, the one that has given the word, the one that you've seen some years ago do and answered your prayers. He answered your prayers, and you can reflect back on God. If you did it back then, you can do it again. Have faith in God. And then also, when you come to God, you are also declaring within yourself, you are the one that's going to make this thing happen. I don't go to my mother, don't go to my father, my grandmother. I'm coming to you, the one and only true and living God. And when I begin to confess who God is in my life and who God is in this situation, then that is a demonstration that I'm having faith in God, in his word. For he said it, he said, I'm going to do it.
And he will do it. So what you need to know is that God has a plan for your life, and you need to believe and confess that plan in faith when you pray. But you will be tested. The enemy wants to divert you from your destiny in God. Psalm 77, the psalmist cried out very openly before the Lord. He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And that's what you're supposed to do. But he went on and he was raw before us. He said, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And he went on to ask God a few questions. I mean, because it felt like God was not there when he needed him. It felt like God had forsaken him. It felt like he couldn't find God. He said, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is the mercy of God clean gone forever? Does his promises fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? I mean, there are some times you can find yourself in a place where you wonder, has God forgotten about you? Has God forgotten to be merciful and gracious to you? Has God shut up his tender mercies from you? And you've got to know, even in times of distress, you've got to keep on holding on. And even in times of distress, you've got to make your confession, as hard as it might be. You've got to keep on declaring that I made it. I like the song that Marvin Sapp sang when he gave his testimony. He had gone through many things and lost his wife, and he was mourning the loss of his wife. But even in the midst of it, while he was yet going through, his testimony was, I made it. He hadn't come out on the other side yet, but he declared while he was in it that I made it. I want to play a clip of this song, and I challenge you to declare and to decree and to believe that you likewise will make it through whatever it is you're going through. I wonder, can you say this morning, I made it?
I got some scars, but I'm still alive. In spite of calamity, he still has a plan for me, and it's working for my good. find my testimony.
I'm so glad I made it.
Is there anybody in here have that testimony?
I made it through.
I made it through.
In spite of the storm.
In spite of the storm.
I made it.
Been through anything.
I'm so glad I made
that you almost threw in the towel. But when you look back over your life, you realize I made it there.
I would have fainted unless I believed to see the salvation of the Lord. To tell the truth, there are times when you may feel like you're fainting, but when you go back to the Lord and begin to quote back the word that he's given unto you, that gives you strength. And I think all of us can say, I would have fainted if it had not been for the Lord. But because of the hand of God on my life, I was able and I am able to make it through. God is able to carry you through to the destination which he's provided. Listen, before when we started this, you talked about that God has a plan for our lives. He's already planned it out for us. He has a path that we are to walk in. And because of that, God knows what we're going to go through. He knows everything that we're going to encounter.
And so what we want to remind you is that God will bring you through. In Job chapter 5, verse 19, he says, he shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch you or come near you. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down.
That's what he
what
said.
Matters is that you get up every time you fall down. And God is there. We used to say God is a God of a second chance, but I knew that wasn't right because I blew my second chance a long time ago. God is a God of another chance. I blew the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth chance. He said, though I fall 6 times, God will deliver me. And in the 7th time, he'll still preserve and protect me. God will bring you through whatever you are going through. And you've got to walk this thing out in faith.
You got to walk it out. The only way, he said, that's the only way you're going to know who I am. That's the only way you're going to know what I can do. That's the only way you're going to see my presence being manifested in your life is when you begin to walk out that word. There is no other way that we can come to know God is that when we trust in him to carry us through.
Amen. And so we end this in 1 Samuel chapter 30 with David. David encouraging himself in the Lord. You got to remember, David was a wonderful king. He was a king after God's own heart. He led his men. These are men that were distressed and distraught, men that were depressed and discontented. And they had gathered themselves together to David, and God blessed David to make of them a mighty army. And they followed David through thick and through thin. And David led them from victory to victory. But one time the enemy got the better of them. While they were out defeating the enemy came into their home camp. And the enemy laid waste to everything that was there. And he destroyed their houses and took their women and their children. And then when they came home to celebrate the victory of battle, they found that their own homes were laid waste. You know the story in 1 Samuel 30. And the men that loved David, the men that would go to war with David, that would lay down their life for David, they they became angry with David, and the Bible says that they really wanted to stone David. Look, we've been out there putting our life on the line for you, and while we've been doing this, the enemy has come in here and destroyed our families, and we really want to take your life. We're so angry with you right now. And the Bible says that those that David would normally go to for encouragement, those that he would normally sit down and talk to, they didn't like him. They didn't want anything to do with him. They wanted to kill him. So then David had to find some encouragement for himself. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. There's not going to always be someone you can call on the telephone. Not going to be always someone that's going to come and encourage you in the Lord. But sometimes you've got to learn how to pat yourself on the back and tell yourself you can make it. Tell yourself it is going to be all right. Tell yourself that God's got this thing and God's going to work it out for you.
And there are times too, you know, you got to do warfare. You got to begin to start taking the word of God, presenting it before the Lord, and begin to even bind the work of the enemy. Because remember, just as God is for you, there is an enemy that is against you. And you got to begin to know that God is with you, and taking the word of God and binding the hand of the enemy. Not only even standing up. I know times when I'm standing up in my living room and I'm declaring the word of the Lord. I'm telling the enemy that his plans just won't work. Trick won't work. It's just not going to come to pass, because God says that it's not going to come to pass. You got to get violent. We were even looking at the scripture. It says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And there's times when you just got to take it. Take the word of God and begin to do warfare against the enemy, because you have to remember the enemy don't want to see you to receive the promises of the Lord. He wants you to abort the plan that God has for you, but not so. When you begin to declare the word of God, you got to begin with force just to begin to declare the word of the Lord over your life and even against your enemy.
Amen. We don't want to leave you with thinking that you won't have some calamities in your life and you won't have some distress and some trouble in your life, because one thing you've got to know is the reason why David had to encourage himself, the reason why his men wanted to stone him, is because their livelihood had been burned, their city had been burned. And so what you need to know is that there might be some loss that you have to suffer. There might be some things that you have to endure. He didn't say that every day would be Sunday. He didn't say that the Sabbath would have no end, but he said that he would see you through it all. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say you wouldn't go through the valley, but he said you're going to come out on the other side, because you're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I will be with you in six troubles, and in seven I will in no wise forsake you. He didn't say you wouldn't have a trouble. He said he'd be with you when you go through the trouble. So you've got to know that even when the enemy comes against you to eat up your flesh, he said they'd stumble and fall. He didn't say they wouldn't array themselves against you. They will come against you. They will fight against you. They will fight for everything that God has placed in your life. But he said he would deliver you when they come against you. He didn't say they wouldn't array themselves against you. He didn't say trouble wouldn't come, but he said he would deliver you out of the hand of the enemy, and he would preserve your soul from destruction. So just know that you will go through, you will experience difficulty, you might even experience loss, but God will repay everything. God will restore everything that the enemy has destroyed. God will restore it. When you look at the life of Job, he suffered tremendous loss, but in the end, the Bible says that his latter end was greater than his former end. But he did have to go through, he did have to suffer, and he did have to endure, but he walked it out. He trusted in God, and eventually he had to encourage himself, even God himself, through the whirlwind, encourage Job in the things of God.
How do we know that God is able unless we go through these experiences in our life? Or how can we give testimony to other people unless we know that God is able to deliver us? You know, when you were even talking about Job and the trials that he went through, you know, it was at the end where he says, I hear of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you. He was able to see God move in miraculous ways because he had went through his battles battles and tribulations. That was the only way that he could stand up there and say, now, he says, I have heard of you. And some of you, even today, you heard of the testimonies of the people. You've heard of the prayers, even that your mother and grandmother and fathers have prayed for you. But there comes a time when you're going to have to experience God for yourself, that no longer are you going to hear the testimonies, but now you're going to know the testimony of God. You're going to know that God is able because you went through and you came out on the other side.
And you know what? Andre Crouch said it so well. He said, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. But he said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon his word. And that's really what God wants all of us to learn, to trust him more, to lean upon him more, to depend upon his word, so that we have nothing. God should not be your last resort. God should be your only resort.
Now, there's a scripture, even when you're saying the trusting, it says that those who trust in their God will do great exploit. And I'm telling you, there is, going back to it, there is a plan for your life. That is the road that you may have to travel. But at the end, there is a reward. God wants to do something in you that will blow your ever-loving mind. God is a great God, and he is able to deliver you out of not some of your troubles, not just a little bit of them, but he said out of all of your troubles.
And I don't want to leave you thinking that David was despondent and in despair and God didn't come see about him. But that same 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, David, when he didn't know what else to do and encouraged himself in God, he went to the Lord in verse 8, and he says, David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, these that have come in here and destroyed my land, that have taken the sons and the daughters, that have burned our cities? Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, God answered him and said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you shall recover all.
So I want to declare
into your life today that you will make it. Declare that, like it's already done, that I have made it. And God says to you what God says to me, what God said to David and all of those men, pursue and you shall recover all. Dear God, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you and we honor you. You are God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings. And there is none like you in all of
none
the earth.
Like you.
Dear God, may we always put our trust, our hope, and our confidence in you. May we never doubt, dear God, that all of our help comes from you, and there is no shadow of turning. Every time you said you would, you did, and you will, and there is no failure in our God. Father, we thank you because you are the living God. We thank you because you are the bread of heaven. We thank you because you are the shepherd of our soul. We thank you, dear God, because there is none like you in all of the earth,
and we
declare over our lives and over the lives of everyone listening that we will make it, that we have made it, that we will come through this thing, God, victorious, more than conquerors. We will come through, God. Hallelujah. And we will be declaring the name of the Lord. Blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. May everyone pursue, may everyone overtake, and may every one of us recover all that the enemy has stolen in the blessed, glorious, mighty, wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
We thank you for tuning in. This has been Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For more information or to access previous podcasts of this radio program, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time.